T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Search Update.
That's right. At the top of every hour, on the hour, on Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader, we will update you on the most recent, the most up-to-date news on the coaching search for, the head coach search for your Houston Texans. And there was one other opening. I said was one other opening in the NFL left, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles. Pretty sexy spot. Won the Super Bowl in, I think it was the 2017 year, 2018 Super Bowl. Decently talented team when they're healthy. Wouldn't be a bad landing spot for a candidate. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles have hired Nick Sirianni, Colts offensive coordinator. He's expected to be the next head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Has that gone, guys, has that gone official yet or not? Or
I haven't seen numbers, but it sounds like it's pretty official.
Okay. Point being is that that's one more head coach gig, or head coach opening, that's no longer there. So the Texans stand alone as the only franchise with no head coach at this point in time. And, guys, this is absolutely beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. The Texans, now they've landed in this spot. I don't know that they planned on this, but the Texans have landed in a spot when there was once 7 openings. There are now 1, and the Texans are sitting here with Eric Bieniemy, Matt Eberflus, Leslie Frazier, Joe Brady if they want him. I mean, there is a good pool of really, really solid quality candidates for the Houston Texans to take their time, sift through, figure out which one is the best fit for you. And I love where the Texans sit, and here's where I think they are specifically. I believe they've got this thing down to 2 possible candidates, which is Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy. Both of those guys are still active right now in the playoffs. One's the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier. One's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. And the Texans can't officially hire those guys. I don't even know if they can officially offer them. I guess they probably could. But the ink, the paper can't be inked. The contract can't be inked until their team loses out of the playoffs. So there's no sense in showing your cards at this point in time. The Texans are down to Frazier or Bieniemy. And I believe Jim Caldwell is the safety net sitting back there waiting to see how this thing unfolds.
I think that's the great thing, and the great part that's happened is everybody – I think Brandon Staley is the only person they've interviewed that they don't have a chance to hire, right? Everyone else they've interviewed doesn't with another team, right?
Right.
Everyone they've interviewed. And so they have their pick to get whoever their guy is, right? And – as you said, it'd be pretty hard for you not to be able to sell any of those candidates. Really, except Marvin Lewis. But it'd be pretty hard. Like, you could sell Joe Brady.
I think Marv's out of the mix. But yeah, I got you.
You could sell Joe Brady. Hell, he lost his defensive coordinator job at Arizona State to Antonio Pierce. He's now just a special assistant.
He's stepping down.
But you could sell Joe Brady. Genius, smart guy. We really think this could be the next Sean.
You could damn sure sell him to Deshaun.
Yeah, this could be the next Sean McVay. May not be the best, but you could sell that. You could sell Eberflus. You could sell all of these. So they're in a good spot that all the guys they targeted are still there, with exception of Brandon Staley.
So they're in a spot where Eric Bieniemy is available. He's a perfect fit.
God, and he would do it.
And look. Show, he is a guy that will ignite the fan base. He is a guy that will ignite the locker room.
Got his press conference.
He is a guy that the media will love to cover.
Ugh.
And those are all things that the Texans need desperately. And ultimately, let's be honest, Houston needs a coach like that. They need a coach that nationally people want to cover that guy. nationally, people want to see that guy do well and see that guy have success. You couple that with Deshaun Watson, a quarterback that they clearly want to see have success. I just think it's a match made in heaven, man. I think Eric Bieniemy sitting out there right now and the Texans having the only opening in the league, it could not set up any better, in my opinion. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Houston Texans to screw this one up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces. Let's do this, baby. John McClain joined my guys Landry Locker and John Lopez earlier today. One thing became very, very clear. You need to buckle up, Houston. Jack Easterby is going to be in Houston. Jack Easterby is going to be an integral part of whatever in the hell goes on with the Houston Texans inside that organization. This is John McClain earlier on In the Loop when asked, well, hell, I'll let John Lopez, the OG, ask the damn question.
I mean, you got to understand, and more importantly, Cal has to understand, nobody in this town wants Jack Easterby to have anything to do with football.
Well, unfortunately, he's the executive director of football operations. Everybody on football side is going to have an opinion on trades, personnel, practice schedules, everything that goes into it. But it's Caserio who has the last word on that. And so if he wants to do, he's going to give Easterby a lot of leeway to handle things he doesn't want to handle.
I said it from the jump. Jack Easterby's fingerprints are going to be all over every decision this organization makes. And John just... all but confirm that he's going to be. I don't care who has the last say so. I don't care who punches the button. It's going to be a group effort, and Jack Easterby's going to be a part of everything from travel to cafeteria food to practice schedules to free agents they bring in to draft picks. Jack Easterby's going to be involved. You might as well just buckle up and learn to like it, Houston. Here's what you got to hope. Here's the one thing you got to hope, and I've said this multiple times, is you've got to hope that the head coach that's hired has the ability to tell the front office, stay out of my locker room, stay off of my practice field, stay off of my sidelines during games, stay out of my way, let me and the players go win ball games. That's what you got to hope. There's no doubt about it that Jack Easterby is going to be involved, and between Cal and Nick Caserio and the front office, that they'll figure things out in the front office and I think they can do fine in the front office moving forward. Nick Caserio assures me that there's no chance they're going to trade away a DeAndre Hopkins and get a second-round draft pick in return, right? If his buttons are pushed to a point where he's got to trade DeAndre Hopkins, again, I would expect that to be a Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, Herschel Walker type of haul that the team gets in return. There's no doubt about it. Jack Easterby's going to be part of it. The key is, does the head coach have the guts? Does he have the backbone to say, man, I don't really care what y'all do up there. Just make sure you stay out of my locker room. That's the kicker here, and I think that's very possible if the right guy's hired.
God, it's just so scary with him being a part of personnel when you know the DeAndre Hopkins thing. That's just hard to shake out of your head to think that he's going to have an opinion. And an opinion, this is the big part. You can have an opinion, right? There could be somebody walking around with an opinion. But he has an opinion that is valued. That's just a scary thing about it.
Well, it's valued. It's valued by Nick Caserio. But I would imagine that Nick Caserio will value the head coach's opinion a little more than Jack Easterby's, especially when it comes down to decisions that are made like DeAndre Hopkins, like moving superstars. It's no longer Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien the only two to make the decision. Now Nick Caserio's in the middle, and there's going to be a new head coach. And so you would think that the two of those would be able to talk enough sense into Easterby that, hey, those are not moves that you need to make. Nonetheless, the point is, get used to Easterby being here. He's going to be here. He's going to have his fingerprints on things that Nick Caserio are involved in, and whatever decisions are made by this front office. You just hope that the head coach has the ability to keep him out of the locker room and repair the trust issues that are currently in the building between the locker room and the front office.
Hey, Omaha.
All right, Houston, I don't know. I'm a big fan of press conferences. I'm a big fan of head coach. What do they look like? What do they sound like? What's their message when they first talk to their fan base? A man, Dan Campbell, former Texas A&M Aggie.
Whoop.
There you go. I crossed paths with him in Dallas with the Cowboys. I know Dan Campbell. I'm a big fan of Dan Campbell. And he spoke. He spoke to Detroit. He spoke to the NFL community today as the first time we've heard from him as the official head coach of the Detroit Lions. A little rough around the edges. Ask yourself, what do you want your head coach to sound like? And is it anything like Dan Campbell? Here is the Detroit Lions' new head coach, Dan Campbell.
Just as an overall philosophy, you're going to say, well, what's this team going to be? What's it not going to be? Here's what I know. This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. None of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Talk to him, DC. Talk to him. That's what I'm talking about right there, show. I can get down with that.
Here's my
thing. I can get down. Don't you buzzkill me.
Well,
don't you here's my thing. No,
I just here's my thing.
I can see on your face you're fixing to buzzkill me. I love it.
Thing.
I love it, DC.
I got a good friend that's a Lions fan. I said, what do you think about that? What do you think about that press conference? He said he feels like a goof. And here is my thing. Is this you played with him, you've been around him. This authentic Dan Campbell?
100%.
This isn't him putting on some sort of
100%.
Act, then I'm cool with it.
Big ass country dude that would just as soon whoop your ass rather than shake your hand.
There ain't no doubt about it. I just like people being themselves.
Well,
not him going up and try to add some extra stuff to make his press conference with the Lions fans. This is him, I'm good with it.
You got the real Dan Campbell saying some stuff about biting kneecaps off and thinking that it makes sense to everybody.
Strong.
Like most of us go, yeah, that's pretty strong. I don't know about biting the kneecap.
Especially the second kneecap.
That's Dan.
There's no reason to go to the other leg.
That's Dan. That's 100% who it is, and I'm here for it. I want a guy, like you said, that's authentic. That's genuine, sincere, because ultimately that's who the locker room's going to respond to. Don't matter where you're from, what color your skin is, if you're genuine and sincere and you're authentic, the locker room's going to buy into whatever you're selling. But I don't need somebody to get up there and articulate everything real well. Obviously, you can tell if you listen to the show, I'm not a big fan of that. I just want a guy that doesn't necessarily appeal to the suits. I want a guy that appeals to the locker room. I want a guy that knows what it's like when you're in the fourth quarter and you've been getting the dog beat out of you, and you got to put your hand in the dirt and do it five more times in a drive to get in field goal range and win a ball game. And that's Dan Campbell. And one of the main reasons I wanted to highlight that is because I hope that whoever the Texans hire at their press conference, they got a little bit of that right there in them.
Well, Dan Campbell's not the only one who had a press conference today. Maybe the Texans' next head coach, Eric Bieniemy, had a press conference today.
Oh, yeah.
And he was asked about becoming a head coach. We'll have that audio for you on the other side. What a damn tease show!
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, as I said before the break, Eric Bieniemy, he spoke today as this is the day of the coordinator speak. Now, listen, I'm used to this. I think this is going to get Clint off sports-wise. I'm used to this. I listened to Eric Bieniemy for 3 years speak every day, every week, as an offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. But this is him. He is asked a question about becoming a head coach, his thoughts of that, and what's going on right now. And just listen to the focus. This could be the guy that is running this organization. This is hopefully the next head coach of the Houston Texans, Eric Bieniemy.
You know what, Harold? Here's the thing. It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure Everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. Okay. Today we had an opportunity to make sure we can take care of situational football as far as short yardage, goal line, and our third down situations. So now it's time for us to go back in and chop wood, watch this tape, and get ready for the next day. We want to make sure that we're getting our guys ready to make sure they can take care of business on Sunday. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself.
Mm. And he's smiling like hell at the end.
Like, big old
when it, when it take care of yourself, I'll retweet it. He's smiling like hell. Chopping wood. He said it's his dream. He said head coaching is his dream. So for those of you who believe he's just turning down these 15 interviews, it's his dream. But we got to focus on this. We got to focus on getting these guys in. Specific with the short yardage. That's more specific than Bill O'Brien ever was. Short yardage, all of that stuff.
Chopping short yardage, goal line, third down. Made me think about run game. Made me think about being able to put your knuckles in the dirt and move the line of scrimmage and go get a first down. Yeah, look, man, you know when Eric Bieniemy speak like that right there. Like every time I hear the guy speak,
it just sounds like a commander.
It screams head coach. It screams head coach. That's not a running back's coach. You know that's not a guy that you worry about whether he calls plays or not. That's a guy that gets it. That's a guy that in a very short period of time, a little small, less than a minute, you know, bit of audio, you walk away and you go, that guy's got his priorities in line. You know, he's got things in perspective. He knows what's important right now as of today, and that's doing everything he can with the next hour of his life to put this team in a position to win a ball game. And it's just, I mean, the dude just screams head coach every time I hear him speak.
No, he does. And there's a part, right? You touched on it a little bit, and I think Michael Irvin touched on it before too, talking about who it is that you need to or that the next head coach needs to get on the side of. Who is it that the head coach needs to talk to? Like, there's some things – within the, and this has been something said about Eric Bieniemy, that he doesn't interview well. Or these have been one of the things over the last couple of years, that his interviews and the way he potentially communicates with owners doesn't go well, whatever that means. But
well, I mean, I think that's easy to see. I think it's easy to see where, like right now, like could you see where Cal McNair probably wouldn't be real comfortable?
Is that a little too hard? That right there?
No, I love it. I love it, but I don't. It's not. It's
it wasn't
not,
Dan Campbell. Right.
Well, it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch for me to see where that approach, that mentality, Dan Campbell's mentality, right? Eric Bieniemy's mentality. It's not hard for me to see where those kinds of mentalities would, for lack of a better term, scare away some suits. I just, to be completely honest with you, Now, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form, I'm not making an excuse why the guy should have 17 interviews and not be a head coach. There's no reason for that. But I can definitely see where the guy that's buttoned up and comes in there soft-spoken with this presentation to impress would be very easy to see how he would have success in that environment. And the old rough around the collar, y'all sit back and let me tell you how we win ball games doesn't always sit well with folks.
So this is interesting because Michael Irvin, he was on with Payne and Pendergast yesterday, and he spoke about, I think, of this very thing about impressing the people up in the front office who you're interviewing with compared to being able to gain the respect and impressing the guys that are in uniform. This is Michael Irvin, which I wonder how the Texans are operating, how they're looking at their next head coach. I think this was interesting what Irvin said.
Guys don't get opportunities, and people say, well, they didn't interview well. They didn't communicate well with the owner. I said, it's not about communicating with the owner. It's about communicating not with the people in suits, but the people in uniforms. If you want to do something great, you know, it ain't about coming up here in this suit and tie and being able to win you. It's about going in that locker room and being able to win dudes are putting on the jersey. That's how you go and win championships.
Winning the guys in the locker room. I wonder how much Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, especially those two, I wonder how much they put that into it. Like, do they look at that and think, all right, can his communication style win the guys out there? Or, man, I don't like it because it doesn't win. Like, I wonder, do they get that understanding of what Michael Irvin's talking about? Like, oh, he needs to win us, or we need to, the way he's communicating with us scares us or makes us nervous, and understand how that would translate to winning guys over that are actually in the locker room.
Well, you know, I think it's fair criticism. If that's where you were going with it, I don't want to couch it wrong, but I think it's fair criticism of the Houston Texans organization to say that for whatever reason, they've had a hard time identifying the types of individuals that typically win in a locker room, that typically win on the football field. I think they've taken that skill set for granted and moved on from players that really gave them an advantage to win because they weren't appealing to them. They weren't choir boys. They didn't. And I think Bill O'Brien is a big part. You know, Bill O'Brien had a lot to do with that. Now, Bill O'Brien was one that would get sideways with a superstar player in a hurry. Now, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins, Jadeveon Clowney, those types of situations were a problem. And I think that's a fair criticism of the Houston Texans. If they've had a real problem of making sure their locker room's full of guys that give them a chance to win, and the majority of the time when they've failed doing that, they've erred on the side of taking not really keeping, but getting the guy that may be rough around the edges, getting him out of the building instead of learning to live with the guy, instead of acknowledging and understanding and be aware of how that guy gives you a chance to win ball games, even though you may not be able to relate to him or he may not fit in your box. They've had a really difficult time of identifying that guy and keeping him in the locker room. It's been a problem.
Yeah, in the interview process, Clint, you have to understand, okay, who's gonna win? Can he win us over? But, man, more importantly, can he win the guys over in there? Can he win the Deshaun's over? Can he be able to get to Justin Reed and everything? Like, and Michael Irvin saying that's a big thing from a guy who's been around, who's played in the league, who's been a Hall of Famer in this league. Jimmy Johnson could win in that locker room with him.
No question.
Like he won in that.
The thing with Jimmy in Dallas, what Jerry did was they found a handful of guys that what they wanted to do first and foremost was win ball games. Michael Irvin, he was a dog. But when it came down to winning ball games, he was going to do whatever it took, right, to win ball games. And that was do right throughout the week, be at practice, grind as hard as anybody. Troy Aikman, same deal. The point is Deshaun Watson is cut from that same cloth. You got to surround him with guys like that. JJ's cut from that cloth. JJ's just a little bit older. He's probably played his last down in Texas or with the Texans. You got to surround him with a handful of 6 to 8 guys that are willing to do that same thing, and then you got something. Regardless of whether those guys are rough around the edges, regardless of whether those guys appeal to the suits or not, you got to find those guys that at the number one thing. It's not about their brand. It's the number one thing is about winning championships.
No, it is, and I hope that is something. If the thought is in this interview process, we have one candidate that we feel most comfortable with that wins us as opposed to we'll win in that locker room, I feel like that's a mistake of how they're going about it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who it is that they bring on. But we don't know who they're hiring yet, but the owner, Kyle McNair, he finally stepped up and finally did what we believe he needed to do first to at least give himself a chance to fix this mess with his quarterback. We'll discuss what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Listen, we have been critical of Kyle McNair, and we believe it's been fair. It's been fair at times, the decisions, the moves that have been made. We have been critical of him. But the one thing, I know Clint earlier this week, you said it based off of something the former CEO of the Oakland Raiders, Amy Trask, said. Kyle needs to take the first step, and the first step is to do what Amy Trask has said he should do. This was Amy Trash earlier this week on Payne and Pendergast saying the steps that Cal McNair needs to make to fix this with his quarterback.
I believe this rests on Cal McNair to try to repair this damage. It needs to start with an apology. It needs to start with a sincere, honest apology from Cal to Deshaun, and then go on from there.
So, hey, needs to start with an apology. We agreed with that as well. And then John McClain, who was on In the Loop today, dropped this nugget in regards to what Amy Trash is talking about.
I talked to Cal. He said he'd sent him a text. Aaron Wilson reported in a story today that Cal McNair had apologized to Watson.
That's right. Aaron Wilson, we saw it. He caught Come it and said he apologized privately to Deshaun Watson. That's a good first step.
Hell yeah.
That's a hell of a first step
when
for Cal.
You look at what Cal McNair needed to do, it really ultimately, other than just keeping your reins on Jack Easterby, it is clearly the one thing that Cal McNair needed to do, and he needed to right the ship with Deshaun Watson. Now, look, I don't even care if it was a lengthy apology. I just care that it's genuine and sincere. And then you move out of the way, and you let Nick Caserio, who you hired, you let him take the reins from here and handle Deshaun Watson and get the head coach hired, and then the head coach handles Deshaun Watson, and it's all water under the bridge. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that sometimes it takes so long and it's so difficult to get to a point where a guy apologizes, but ultimately the right thing for Cal McNair to do here was to apologize to Deshaun Watson for what has taken place within the organization over the last several months, and then you go back into the CEO, you go back into the owner's role, and let the guys that you hired handle Deshaun Watson moving forward. To me, this is really the only step that was left for Cal McNair. It was an obvious step that needed to be taken, but it was the only step that Cal McNair needed to take at this point in time.
Because if you're serious about fixing things and serious about doing this, and you've already admitted that you have had issues in the article from Aaron Wilson, he admits to having issues with communication, having problems and failures in communication. Man, if you're trying to save this and fix this, and it looks like he is with this, that he's trying to take steps to it. He says he wants Deshaun to be here. He was right there at the press conference with him and Nick Caserio. Deshaun is our quarterback. Well, this is the move that needed to be made. We don't know how receptive Deshaun was to it, but at least to take the step to try to, not saying it's going to fix it, but to take the step, he had to reach out. And had to do it. I hope he did it in person.
You hope he did. But look. Ultimately, I think it's one of those things where, as I've said from the jump, like I think Watson gets you know, mischaracterized in terms of being angry. I don't think the guy's angry. I think the guy just wants the organization to prove that they're doing things in championship fashion. And a big part of that is recognizing where you went wrong, especially when what went wrong appeared to be just so poorly thought out and so poor, you know, the process was so poorly navigated. A lot of times just admitting that was a problem, that wasn't the best way to go about it, and couching it in an apology, a lot of times that's really it's a really powerful statement from McNair to Watson. So I don't really, you know, I don't get caught up on, I don't expect Cal McNair to have some real eloquent apology lined up for Deshaun. I just think it's powerful if you're Deshaun when the owner and those in charge are recognize and are aware that, man, what y'all been doing, it don't make sense. It's not, we're not going to win with that. We got to make a change. And I think that in itself to Deshaun Watson is a powerful statement.
And it's not the biggest thing as we're talking about here. As we reported, Aaron Wilson has stated that Cal McNair did privately apologize to Deshaun Watson, which is, I think, the right first step. And there's so many people out here that are saying, you know, Deshaun is a crybaby and Cal doesn't need to do that. He's paying him this, such and such. Listen, man, if you want relationships to work, and this is a relationship it sounds like Cal McNair wants to work, If you in the wrong, just admit you in the wrong.
That's right. It ain't that hard.
Like, it don't matter how much money you paying them. I don't care. And people out here being, I'm just calling it out, it is. Y'all just being silly with the, he's being a crybaby, he needs to shut up here, Cal, because he's making such. No, if you in the wrong, you in the wrong. Right? Like
yeah.
That time Tyler farted in the production room.
In the production, in the prep studio.
He was in the wrong. Just apologize.
Loud, too. And then, look, that same little grin he's got on his face right now. He's trying to apologize and move on. He's trying to make light of that, though, Tyler. In reality, he was pissed.
We all know how Show feels about farts.
In reality, he was pissed.
The funniest thing in the world is farts, but Show has a crazy disdain for them.
713-572-4610. Is it rude if you fart in a studio? Look, what do you think this is? You think it's 20 by 20?
It's a small room.
It's
with
20
just
by
a,
20. It's
14
size,
by 14.
A little bigger than a bedroom. No, yeah,
14
it's bigger.
By 14.
This is bigger than 14.
Hard,
by 14.
Hard closing doors. Walk out. Just
all
walk out.
Three grown men in there. His ass is pointed the other direction. Is it worth getting mad over? If a grown man farts in the same room,
hold on. Let me defend myself real quick.
I'm just asking. So I want everybody to text in 713-572-4610.
Let's give the full story here. How many times have I nicely expressed to him, "Hey man, if you got to fart because we're in this small room, could you just walk outside and do it?"
Man, I think I probably heard it once.
Come on, man. I've Tyler. Big, how many times I say that to you?
Maybe two or three.
I'm going to be honest. It didn't bother me.
And he, well,
I thought it was funny.
Well, most people find farts funny. The listeners need to understand just how strongly I've never seen Show get this angry, folks.
Because you put us in a place where it can't nobody go nowhere, and it's just stuck in here. And
but you didn't even know if it stunk
it's
yet.
Just, but like, you
don't
even.
I thought it was going to stink.
You don't know if your fart's going to stink or not. Don't do that.
You weigh, look, hey, Tyler weighs, what do you weigh, Tyler, about 140?
180.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, for real.
180?
Yeah.
Soaking wet?
Yeah.
See, 180, oh, hatchet ass. He when he did it, it just amazed me that he, that fella right there could bring that kind of power when he breaks wind.
Yeah,
you're mad about it.
It's just rude.
Hey, I will say since that moment, I haven't done it.
How would that be right now? You know how many times I've had to fart in here? You know how many times? But you can't go nowhere. Like, then you know I'd be messed up if I just went in here and just let one ride right here and you got to sit this damn thing out.
It wouldn't bother me if I heard it. Now, if it was funky, like real funky, like that's when I go, all right, man,
exactly.
you got to excuse yourself.
No, but don't sit here and act like you can control your fart.
I can't control it. I can't control it, but I know if it's going to stink or not.
Oh, God.
I absolutely know.
Well, if it stinks, you can't repeat it. That, like the first one, if it's funky, I can get by it. But if you sit there 5 minutes later and do it again, then I got a problem. That will really piss me off.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just telling you, man. I don't think that it is a unreasonable request. We in this small room together working.
You got mad about it, though.
I got mad because I specifically asked him to. I just nicely asked him multiple times. Now, y'all can say, I've probably said this to him five times, and he's just kept doing it. And then I think he thought maybe the fourth and fifth times it was just a joke or something.
Right.
And he kept on doing it. And I'm just said, hey, dog. Come on, man.
Well, you got real, and since then I haven't done it. I promise.
And I appreciate that. And
yes,
he apologized.
Well,
he apologized to bring this full circle like Cal McNair did.
Right.
He apologized because he's in the wrong. He was in the wrong. There's nothing wrong with it.
If he were to come in here and fart, then we would have a problem, right? But that's like the prep studio is kind of that's all of our room. You know what I mean?
Oh, stop.
I'm serious. I think that's kind of his touch where he does all his work. It's where he does all his, gets all the audio and pieces everything together. That's kind of his space, man.
Well, luckily for you all, but I'm sure the text line is ringing the flag for you with this. Joe's being soft. Since when does a fart not stink? There are some farts that don't stink.
Oh,
some
plenty
are just,
of them.
Some are just loud.
I'm going to tell you.
I don't think it's
fair
for you to just say that you know when. No, you might sneak one out that you don't. Ooh, I felt like that wasn't going to stink. Because you want to know how I know? Because you didn't come in there and said, oh, God, I didn't know that was coming out. You didn't even.
That's because he's scared of you getting mad. That ain't real. He knew that was coming.
It snuck out of me.
Grown man knows when that fart's coming.
I just don't think it's too hard to take seven steps. Open up the door and just let it ride. Just stand out there for a little bit.
I got you.
What about the other day when you did it? You about
I didn't fart. I got up out of here.
I know, but you got up out of here and you're going
to
break
yes,
more windows.
Yes, because I was about to come in, but, right I went to, but I went to another room and almost.
Oh, you
almost,
started playing bingo with your draws.
I got a little cavalier. I almost got a little cavalier with that fart. I almost got a lot more than I bargained with. Almost a lot. But back full circle.
Like the boy thought like lit.
Kyle McNair, he was in the wrong and he apologized.
You're right.
And
you're
I right. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care if he's paying somebody $156 million. If you do something, in the wrong, be a man and apologize.
We get it, man. Sorry. We get it. Whether it's Cal and you've disrespected Deshaun, or it's Tyler and he's farting in the prep studio, man. Just apologize. If you're wrong, you're wrong.
I never seen you so mad.
I'm just saying, man to man, a guy asks you something reasonable and you just tell him, F you, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go against what your request was. Then, yeah, I'm going to get a little bit mad.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an extremely gassiest individual. And Lauren asked me the other day, she was like, how do you go through 4 hours with show in the same studio? And, like, I don't even.
You don't think about it. When you hit that bathroom, you let it out. If you got to.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't. I mean, I can't remember at all ever getting up and leaving the studio so I can break wind outside the door.
Yeah, I've done it several times, so I don't fart in here with you. I've done it multiple times. I've done it several times. Yesterday, for in fact, I walked all the way around the corner and
get those
almost got a little
farts.
Bit more than I bargained for. Text line is coming through 713-572-4610. Go ahead, Derwin. Jump in here, man. What's your thoughts on? I don't know what we're talking about. Go ahead, Derwin.
First of all, show grown ass men actually rake them farts, man. But listen, y'all gotta stop gassing up these guys like Russ, man. The Houston Texans, every game they lost this year, every single one of those teams made the playoffs. All right, the teams that they lost by more than one touchdown are still in the playoffs. And here's the thing. We hear these guys talk about, if you're listening to somebody offer you 3 or 4 first-round picks and all of this stuff, when you're putting that kind of package together, something should tell you that maybe you need to keep that player, because that player is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of player. And we've got to understand that and stop talking about all these guys. What Eric Bieniemy sounded like in that interview to me, he sounded like somebody that ain't going to take no crap off of Jack Easterby, and I really hope that we make that happen. But this is not a rebuild. This team is in a situation where if put the right people behind it, we're going to do good, period. And that's it, guys.
No, I appreciate the call, Derwin. No, this one isn't a thing. Like I could be annoyed, Clint, if he has to come out and try to smooth stuff over because – you know, like James Harden or Kyrie Irving, where you got to try to smooth stuff over because you know you're not really in the wrong. You know they're being really childish, but you got to smooth things over because they're a star, and you just got to try to, you got to try to make them feel. That's not the situation. Like, this situation is you've made it here. You've done this yourself by promising that you were going to do something and then turning around doing something else. It's easy. Just do it, and this is the first step. I think that, then go ahead and just hire Eric Bieniemy, then go ahead and spin around. I think you make those two moves, like you're starting to make moves that make sense.
I can't believe that this is where we're at, Show. And I mean that in a very, very positive way. I don't know if you can hear the tone of my voice, but I can't believe, given what we've discussed and what we know to be true and what's been reported, and really the way that Cal McNair stuck to his guns, kept Jack Easterby in the building, I cannot believe that we're sitting here and we're in a position where the Houston Texans are the only franchise with a head coach vacancy and Eric Bieniemy still sitting out
How
there.
How in the hell did that happen?
And this organization, given all that they've done,
Jack,
these decision makers at the top are in a position to where one hire and the top gets blown off this damn fan base. The top gets blown, in a good way, I mean. And the top gets blown off the locker room. And look, I'm a football head. I just look at this. I don't give a damn who they hire. Like big picture, I don't care what his name is. I don't care what color he is. I don't care what organization he came out of. I don't give a damn. I want to get excited about the football team that I cover that represents my city. They've got a chance to win a championship. Not just, well, we're going to dig them out of the hole that they're just going to stop doing the crazy stuff they've been doing. They're going to not trade away really good players. No, you get a guy in here that gives you a chance to dig out of the hole, yes, but also you hope, and the reason you're hiring him is that he can take you to the same position that the organization you're hiring him from is currently in. And that's what we're on the verge of. I mean, I can't believe, given what we've talked about, not just here, I've talked about it nationally. I can't believe that what we've discussed in this studio over the past month, I can't believe where we're sitting right now. We're on the verge of hiring a guy like Eric Bieniemy and having in 2021 Eric Bieniemy as a head coach and Deshaun Watson as a quarterback.
To have the option. Never saw it. Never saw that coming to be this point. You felt like you had to jump on him early and quick, and that was going to be a hot commodity.
Well, yeah, and you felt like the Texans would just find a way to never interview the guy, right? Or scare the guy off with the dysfunction at the top. I mean, there's a lot of things
that's the part. Like, with everything that's happened, it's still there.
Yeah. You know, a week ago, you look at it and you're just like, oh man, I just don't know, man. But boy, it sure seems like they've zeroed in on one of two guys, Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy. And I've got to believe, with no disrespect to Leslie Frazier, but I got to believe all the arrows are pointing in the direction of Eric Bieniemy for this head coach job.
You hope so. But Cal, you did your job, stepped up, and did at least the first step you had to, and that was sit down, open up dialogue, hopefully, and have a conversation with your quarterback, and just say, as a man, I was wrong, and I'm gonna apologize. All right, and sincere. Hopefully, it was sincere, like Amy Trask said it should be. All right, coming up, we will give you the latest updates and on the coaching search, and that means this. The Texans are the final one. They have their pick of the litter. The Eagles have hired another coach. Hell, it may be a help for you in the division because the Colts lost one of their coordinators. But we'll give you the latest update on where the Texans are going with their coaching search. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.